Thanks for being with us on The Takeaway today. I'm Todd Zwillick. The president is under investigation by an independent prosecutor. There's possible obstruction of justice afoot. The country is divided along political and cultural lines. Meanwhile, the president is firing or threatening to fire the very people in charge of enforcing the law he's sworn to uphold. That might as well be news from 45 minutes ago, right? But it's actually news from 45 years ago, Watergate, 1973. And the parallels have not been lost on Washington as those who lived through Watergate take to the airwaves and to print, reminding everyone that as they watch this Trump White House, they've seen some of this movie before. And the parallels aren't lost on Leon Nafalk either. Leon is a reporter for Slate, and he's host of Slate's Watergate podcast called Slow Burn. The series portrays the scandals around the Nixon White House in ways that immediately remind you of the news you've been hearing every day.
So to me, the biggest sort of similarity, the broadest similarity, is that you just had such chaos in the White House and such a siege mentality within the White House staff, where you had a country that was sort of being led by a gang of total paranoiacs and schemers that left a lot of unknowns for the American people. No one knew what was going to happen next. You know, you had not only a special prosecutor in both cases and an accusation of election tampering, so to speak, in both cases, but you just had a general feeling like, how will all this resolve itself? Will we survive this? And I think that's the biggest link between then and now.
Talk about Capitol Hill, 1972-1973. The parties were not nearly as divided as they are now, but there were still a lot of lawmakers with a lot invested in Richard Nixon. And the way they reacted to the unfolding scandal tells us a lot about today.
That's right. In 1972, after the break-in in June, you had crickets for quite a long time. Nixon was reelected in a major landslide in November. Between June and November, you know, the reporters who were working on the story at the Washington Post and elsewhere had a real hard time, I think, getting people to appreciate the scale of what they were uncovering, partly because they didn't realize the scale themselves necessarily. But during those first few months of the scandal, the Nixon White House was quite successful at convincing people that this was just a third-rate burglary, as the White House press secretary famously said, and sort of just politics as usual, not something that Nixon should be singled out for.
Leon, does it inform in any way what we see today? Look, the Mueller investigation has not reached the same level of Watergate. We don't know if it will. But largely from members of Congress, at least those in the president's party, those who are hanging around and not retiring, lots of efforts to undermine the investigation, not wonder aloud if something really went wrong here.
Yeah, and I think you saw the same thing then. It's sort of an eternal truth, I guess, about elected officials. They have to make their decisions based on what they think will win them the next election. With Nixon, as with Trump, I think you see elected officials making a calculation like, will it be better for me if I stand with him or if I desert him? Under Nixon, it took a very, very long time, almost until the very end, for his fellow Republicans to abandon him en masse. There were obviously exceptions. There were individuals who sounded the alarm earlier than others. But, you know, you had a large chorus of Republicans trying to play it down. I think you saw it in the National Review. You saw that among, you know, right-wing pundits who at the time, you know, there wasn't much of a conservative media infrastructure the way there is now. But what little there was pretty firmly behind Nixon.
You did an episode called True Believers, which looks at the public, the voters who might have been driving the motivations of some of the lawmakers that we're talking about. You had Gail Sheehy on, who really spoke to some of the identity politics that I think myopically we think is just a sign of our times, but was around back then as well. Let's hear a clip.
But when the bar owner put the hearings on TV and floated the idea with his regulars,
"Hey guys, you want to watch that Watergate thing?"
Their answer was unanimous.
"Turn it off!"
It wasn't just that they weren't interested. As far as the barflies at Terry's were concerned, the Senate hearings were just a big show, put on by liberals who wanted to take down the president. Why should anyone reward them by watching?
A little bit of dramatic reading by Gail Sheehy there, Leon.
Yes.
People talk about tribalism today, and that passage from your podcast from episode 5 really shows it's nothing new.
Yeah, I was quite frankly astonished to read Sheehy's piece from 1973. It was published in New York Magazine right as the Senate Watergate hearings were starting. If I didn't know that it had been published then as opposed to now, sort of with the benefit of hindsight, I would have thought, you know, oh, they're playing up these similarities between Trump voters and Nixon voters. You read her interviews with these guys and they talk about all the same stuff. You know, that Nixon was a tough guy.
And that's what the way these guys felt. They were nobodies, except that Richard Nixon gave them an identity. Richard Nixon was the tough guy who was going to get rid of all those anti-war people, all those anarchists, terrorists, the people who were tearing down our country.
Leon, change a couple of minor details in that statement, and Gail Sheehy could be talking about last week, not 1973.
Totally. And I think there was so much of the same resentments, I think, that we associate with at least part of Trump's base. And so, yeah, it sort of was a reminder to me that these are forces that can be seized in 1973 just as well as they can be seized in 2016 or 17.
Leon, people like to imagine sometimes what President Richard Nixon during the hottest heat of Watergate might have been like if he had a Twitter feed. I think you're one of the people best situated to answer that question now.
One sort of amazing contrast, I think, between Nixon and Trump is that Nixon was actually very restrained in his public appearances. I mean, one of the reasons that I think the White House tapes made such a huge impression on people is that he sounded like a completely different person in these private conversations. He maintained a pretty professional public face. You know, some of the things that were said in those tapes, Trump has said worse things publicly, and it's only the fact that they are public that makes them less explosive to me. If there was a secret tape of Trump saying what he said to Lester Holt in that NBC interview about Russia, where he said, sure, I fired him because of the Russia thing, maybe we would react to it much differently than it did when he simply just blurted it out.
Leon, the fact base is different between Watergate and the Mueller investigation in the current White House. But with all that you found out about the similarities of political culture, political messaging, tribalism, and an embattled White House through your podcast, Slow Burn, where do you think this thing is headed?
I think the regrettable conclusion I've come to is that there's nothing inevitable about Nixon's downfall that should reassure us with regard to Trump. And I'm not saying that because I think Trump resigning is automatically the thing that needs to happen or should happen. But insofar as people are listening to the show with an ear for comforting data, justice was served. You know, guy was in the White House who did things unbecoming of the office and he got what he deserved. And that's how the story goes. It's only in retrospect that we know how the story ended. What I've learned is that so many things had to go a certain way for the outcome to be what it was. That sort of happened to happen. And maybe something will happen to happen under Trump as well, but there's nothing promised about it, I think.
Leon Nafok is a reporter for Slate and host of Slate's Watergate podcast, Slow Burn. Leon, thanks for being here.
Thank you so much for having me.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.